Channel Radio.
Who cares what you mean? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. I'm a rock star.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Who Cares Wins, your health and wellbeing radio show, sponsored by Kent Connections on channelradio.co.uk. My name is Jan Mulligan, and as you know, for the past few weeks, Angela and I have not been able to get into the studio for a variety of reasons. Well, as you know, each year in November, there's the Wellbeing Symposium, which is held at the Kent Event Centre in Maidstone, where Angela and I pop along and interview a whole host of people, from speakers to workshop runners, to standholders and visitors alike, and then subsequently we air those recordings in either one or two shows. Well, each year prior to the show, we have somebody on to tell us what's going to happen, what guests are lined up, and any special events that might be happening. And that show, that preview show this year, is going to be on next Monday. So this week, a little bit of a taster. It's the first of our shows from last year, hosted by Angela, with the recordings from the Wellbeing Symposium 2014. So hopefully you've got a coupler to your hand, and sit back and relax as Angela introduces us to the first few guests.
Yes, it's me. It's Who Cares Wins Radio. It's channelradio.co.uk that you should be tuned into via a website, a smartphone, a tablet. In fact, any form of technology that can get you on the web, you are therefore now sitting comfortably, I hope, with some lunch, as it's lunchtime. Yes, joining me is nobody. I'm on my little old lonesome today. It's just me, Angela Bryer-Stevenson. But we've got a fantastic show lined up for you, because last week Jan and I were down at the Wellbeing Symposium at the Kent Event Centre at Detling. And that was the wonderful event organised by Wellbeing People and all of their sponsors, which I will name in a moment. So, of course, Jan and I were there. We were there last year, if you remember the interesting photos we posted regarding what we got up to, from smoothie bike challenges to health checks and cholesterol checks and blood pressure and leanness. To say that at least I was proven that I am alive and I am human. And this year we were invited back. Thank you ever so much, Wellbeing People. And Rory, of course, you may have heard on our show back in October promoting the event, talking about all the wonderful activities. And of course, this year was the first year that they decided to open the afternoon session to Joe Public, could come in for free. Yes, F-R-E-E, free. And so there was oodles of amounts of information about well-being, health, activities, charities, good stuff that's being done all over the place. But of course, here in Kent. It all starts here in Kent. So it was the third Wellbeing Symposium, the second one that Jan and I have been to. And Jan is away working today. She's a busy little bee. And so she's had to leave me to my own little devices in here in the studio. So if you want to tweet me, you can say hi and keep me company for the next hour. Remember, the Twitter handle is @CaresWins. You can also email me. That's whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. I will also be able to pick that up. And of course, I have the Facebook page loaded as well. So if you want to tweet or Facebook or email or do all of those, you are more than welcome to. Let me know what you're up to this afternoon, whether you have any health and well-being news, activities that you want me to shout about. I've got quite a bit to get through. I've also got a few activities to tell you about and workshops that may be of interest if you are interested in anything to do with health and well-being, which of course you are, because you're listening to Who Cares Wins. Now, first and foremost, are you happy? Because that's one of the other little topics I want to talk about this afternoon. And I wanted to link that in with one of the speakers that was at the Wellbeing Symposium, a lovely guy who is Simon Thorpe, and he may well be tuning in with his fan club this afternoon. So if you're here, Simon, welcome, welcome. And I did actually catch a little interview with Simon after he'd spoken on the stage at the Wellbeing Symposium. But before I play his little interview, which is about happiness, so I want you to think about what makes you happy. I wanted to just highlight some of the fantastic stuff that went on. Now, if I just get my program rustle with my papers. First of all, I wanted to highlight there were in the morning session, if anyone didn't get to the morning session, there were a variety of speakers that they had on stage talking on a variety of topics around the health and well-being arena. And they had Steve Brown, who I've got a little interview from Steve Brown. I caught him afterwards before he whizzed off to another event and another marketing activity for him and a speaking activity. But if you don't know Steve Brown, Steve Brown's the captain of the wheelchair rugby team for the 2012 Paralympics. So you may have even seen him on the telly and been cheering him along and his team. And so they had him along to talk about his little story. Very entertaining guy, very upbeat, very positive guy, and amazing actually in what he is doing and achieving, and his outlook on life as well, which I thought was very personal to what we share on this show, and actually I wanted to play it for you today. So we're still compiling lots of the other interviews, we're still pulling them together and editing them, so don't be upset if yours isn't on today. We are still putting them together. Jan and I are working hard into the midnight hour to get the interviews edited so that we can get them ready to play on air over the next few weeks. So I'm going to play Steve Brown, and I want you to just have a little listen. The quality should be okay. I'm getting better with my technology. So here he is. It's only about 4 minutes, but I just wanted you to hear. He'd done his talk, and he talked about his journey and his accident, and then how he came over from the accident, and then how he, from his excitement and interest in sports, how he then moved into the wheelchair rugby, and of course then was asked to be captain of the team. And if you followed that, you'll know the rest is history. So I caught up with him afterwards. It sounds a bit echoey because we were outside. We didn't want to interfere with the rest of the speakers, so we were outside in the main foyer entrance area of the Kent Event Centre. So it does sound that there was sort of in the middle of a tunnel. But if you ignore those exterior sounds and just have a listen to the marvellous and so positive and so motivated Steve Brown. So I'm here with the wonderful, awesome Steve Brown. Steve, just to let our listeners know that you are fairly famous for a reason.
Yeah, so I play wheelchair rugby and I was captain at London 2012 at the Paralympics.
Yeah. And even though you haven't got your medal here today to show us, it's coming, we know, in, Rio? But as I say, your great talk that you just gave us about motivation, getting you going, the goals was the key thing for you. And I think for our listeners, for health and well-being aspects and what inspires people to do things, you actually had a phrase up there which I wrote down, something about the goal orientation and actually doing something, and then once you achieve that, then you look at something else. I couldn't remember, there was a phrase you used as well about sort of living life or how you look at life.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I very much am goal orientated, and I want to improve, whether that's in my capability of reading or whether that's in sport or fitness or strength. But the way that I really do it is I don't look around and compare myself to other people. I'm very much about being better for my own good. I don't want to be better than France in terms of I train to be France.
Yeah.
I train to be a better version of me, and in turn I will beat France. And so it's all very much I base my training and my lifestyle about improving myself, and in turn it means that you can beat others by doing that.
Absolutely. And one thing dear to my heart, and more personal, is how the people around you, you mentioned them up on stage there, that actually, you know, without their support as well. But it was also difficult for you to perhaps accept that initially.
Yeah, I'd been a very independent person before my injury. I was living in the south of France and Spain and
living the life, I heard.
Yeah, I was. It was fantastic as an area manager, and I had lots of people working for me, and I was achieving far more than maybe people thought I was capable of.
Yeah.
And I was good. I was in a good place. I was happy. And then when I was injured, being in a situation where I'd gone to need a lot of help and a lot of support was quite hard. But I know now, looking back in hindsight, that everything that I've done in life I've had help with.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I wouldn't have got my GCSEs without people's help, let alone being area manager in the south of France, and certainly wouldn't have been captain at London 2012 if it wasn't for my teammates. You know, let's go full circle. And be captain of the team of people that inspired you to do your best in the first place was something I never imagined I'd be doing. I never dreamed of it.
Yeah, and I think that's something that for our listeners to remember, that not comparing themselves to others, so in whatever they're doing around health and well-being, and also to actually perhaps just be sort of accepting where they are at this point, rather than sort of always saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm not there yet, and then, berating themselves. I think that's something, if we can take from you, that just is your evidence, the real life, it can happen to absolutely anybody. Yeah. And it's fantastic to then hear those stories afterwards.
My advice to anyone would be, don't judge yourself on who you are. I'm very proud of my strengths, but I'm also very conscious of my weaknesses. Mm. And it's the weaknesses that I work just as hard on as anything else. And that's not just about how good am I at reading or writing or how strong am I. My weaknesses sometimes show in lack of preparation or not being motivated or getting up late. And those little things can make a huge difference. Being motivated or getting yourself up, changing your diet. It's all those little things that will lead you to be a better person. Little improvements everywhere will make you a much better person overall.
Brilliant. Well, from Who Cares Wins listeners and myself and Jan included, we wish you every success with your training, and we'll be watching the telly.
Thank you.
For Rio. Well done. Thank you.
Well, that was just a brief interview that I caught with Steve Brown at the Wellbeing Symposium last Wednesday at the Kent Event Centre. And what a great guy. Just had so much time for everybody as well. There were so many people, understandably, wanting to catch just a minute of his time, or even maybe just to touch his shoulder and sort of maybe suck out some of that motivation and sort of that fantastic awareness that he has of the potential that he has, but obviously what he believes in, absolutely everyone around him, and of course his team. And we wish him every success for Rio, and I'm sure that, yes, he'll be coming home with, if not the bronze, maybe even up to the gold medal. So fantastic to actually catch some time with him. Thank you so much, Steve, for sharing your precious moments with us. One thing I wanted to pull out from that, if you didn't hear it, and maybe if you were munching away on your lunch or your sandwich, which I trust you are, one of the things he said about not comparing yourself to others, how we can often create, I'm very key with this with mindfulness, and how we can often waste a lot of time, and how we can often spend a lot of time in the past where we are comparing ourselves, oh, I wish I'd done this, oh, I could have done that, I could have said that better, and oh, I could have added that in, or I could have just walked or run a bit faster, or I could have added another few pages to that report, or I could have added another slide in my presentation, just something we're always sort of, how could I have done? And that's not such a bad thing. So remember, from my passion in being a coach and motivational speaker, that it's very much about, yes, that's great to be able to look and say, oh, I could have done it even better. So there's always something next time that I can add in, I can tweak, I can improve on. At the same time, it's what I picked up from Steve was also that essence of not berating ourselves, not sort of beating ourselves up on, look at that person over there, they're much better than I am, and so therefore I won't bother, or maybe I won't necessarily launch that new business idea I've got, or perhaps won't consider doing something at the gym, or even just, as I've said to you before, the vacuum cleaner is your wonderful personal trainer. So something that you could do about activity, and just thinking, yeah, I think I'll do that today, I'll start that this week. And I think it's that key thing about not comparing ourselves to other people, and the asking for other people's help is actually a strength. That was something else I picked up from his talk, that asking for help, and okay, yes, moving into from obviously his spinal injury and his accident, and actually needing to ask for help from the hospital and the carers and the physios, to also the loved ones around him. But if we just relate that to our everyday lives around health and well-being and activity and lifestyle and our own motivation, it's about, well, maybe sometimes we do need to ask for help, whether it's help on where to start, whether it's help on which pathway to look at, to explore, whether it's help from my angle in coaching individuals to help to look at that, just re-clarifying things, gaining the clarity, gaining that ignition switch again of what's going to set you off and start you moving forward with those steps, albeit they may be tiny ones, but moving you forward those steps in that right direction. And it's something that Simon Thorpe talks about in a while, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. But we were very much on the same wavelength. So I promise you, listener, I didn't pay him any money to say the things that he says in his interview. But again, we're sort of very wired in our outlook on life. But for Steve, I think the key thing there as well is not looking at and not focusing on the weaknesses to actually drag ourselves down, and actually really appreciating. We talked about this on a couple of shows before about what we're really thankful for. I played that tune, didn't I, with Bing Crosby. I said, I've got plenty to be thankful for. Sorry, listener, I burst into tune there. Bing Crosby sings it much better than I do. And just thinking about what we're grateful for, what we are thankful for. And so looking at the positives of our strengths, of our abilities, of what we can do, what we have achieved, what we have done, and actually also the excitement of what we'd like to have a go at, what we'd like to try, what we'd like to be involved with. And then, is there a possibility, is there an opportunity for me to actually look at making that happen, bringing that to be a reality? But of course, a lot of us are then, what if, and then you might have some very good friends around you who are more risk averse than you are, and perhaps are thinking, is that a good idea, Angela? Do you think you should do that? Yeah, it's a bit risky. And I think they're great friends to have, and they're great people to be around you to identify perhaps a risk, or just to identify, have you thought of every opportunity or every occasion so that you can plan for that if possible. But it's not about listening to them and saying, okay, I won't bother, I'll just give up. And I think from that, from Steve's message, is very much about, yes, just see, well, let's have a go, let's try. Oh, I quite like this. Then asking for help and asking for support to encourage you and allow you to do more of that thing that you like, that thing that you enjoy. And that real sort of getting up, dusting yourself down and getting on and what's that song you pick yourself up, dust yourself down and start all over again, is so true. So I'm going to play a little tune now. In fact, I've got two little tunes for you because I couldn't make up my mind which one to play in relation to what came from the talk from Steve, and then the brief interview and the chat I had with him, and also a little personal chat with him about my own situation as well and asking him for help. So in the end, I decided, you know what, I'm going to play both songs. So the first song is That's Life by Frank Sinatra. And I think the words there, again, for me and when I'm coaching individuals, is to think about, yes, you know, there are troubles. Not so much about laying down and dying, giving up, but actually getting up and carrying on and get back into that sort of journey that, not necessarily the speed of life, but you get back into it. And then the other one after that is Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. So those of you that may know where the people use it in a film, I don't necessarily want us to think about that per se, but just the lust for life and the actual living for the life and not necessarily having the regrets later. It's like, live it now, because all we have is the now. So first of all, let's get That's Life up by Frank Sinatra. Now I need to press some various little buttons here because I'm all on my own. Jan's working hard, and there we go. So enjoy.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it.
I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life. That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My, my.
We'll be right back.
Who Cares Wins on a Monday afternoon with me, Angela Bryer Stevenson. You're tuned in and it is just me this afternoon. I have my wonderful co-presenter is leaving me on my own. She's working hard. She's away, meetings and all wonderful things to do with Greenleaf Ergonomics. So she's left me to my own devices in the studio. And I'm here and I'm playing a couple of interviews. We've got lots more to play over the next few weeks from the Wellbeing Symposium that Jan and I visited last Wednesday up at the Kent Event Centre. So Wellbeing People organised it and the Wellbeing Symposium was actually the third one this year. So there were just two songs there I couldn't quite make up my mind between after hearing Steve Brown talk, the wonderful captain of the wheelchair rugby team, and obviously just played his little interview there that I managed to catch. So it was That's Life and then Lust for Life, very much about this whole living and breathing and really having this, you know, zest for life and making the most of every single moment. Remember, you can get hold of me on Twitter at CaresWins or via the Facebook page. And I noticed that we have our lovely Gwen has posted on our Facebook page. Hi, Gwen. Lovely to hear that you're tuned in. And she's added to the point that we were making, or I was making earlier, about asking for help and something that Steve Brown mentioned in his talk at the Wellbeing Symposium. And Gwen shares with us also that when you're asking for help, you often find that it's not necessarily something that you want to do, but in times in life that it's often you have to do it. This then gets you thinking well that the person has pointed out several few aspects that actually they're quite of benefit to me. And as she says here, she sometimes you do need a little push, and that this certainly would be probably the majority of us in the world where we do need that extra little push. And actually having somebody alongside us, or somebody, it's a colleague, a friend, a neighbour, somebody in the community, or even if it's a completely neutral person, such as people engage with me as a coach, that's their little push they need. And it can take away we're always very critical of ourselves. I think especially my belief and my opinion is very much in the UK, we're very, very critical and sometimes maybe overcritical of ourselves, thinking that, yes, we could have done it better, but it's could have done better, sort of berating ourselves rather than could have done better, as in next time there'll be another opportunity. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. So thanks, Gwen, for posting that, and lovely to hear from you. But yes, very much about this whole lust for life, and obviously Steve looked at her in a way, looked at his accident as, you know, an opportunity in a way that it's just now his life is as it is, and he's making the most and the best of how he can be as he is now, rather than wishing things could be different and wishing things could have changed or could not have happened. And of course, you know, as I've said to people a lot of times, is the past has gone, the past, you can't, unless you've got some time travel device, you can't necessarily go back to that time and change it. What we can do is perhaps learn from it, if it was something that we can change and we have got an element of control over, that we can then make that step and make something different in the future. So going back to the Wellbeing Symposium, I just wanted to highlight they had a few other speakers that I also caught some interviews with, and we will be playing those over the next few weeks once Jan and I have, between our work schedules, have managed to edit those and get them ready for the show. So Steve Brown, you've heard from. We also interviewed and we heard from Sophia Cannon. Some of you may know that she's a highly intelligent, charismatic family law expert. And she was talking about the link between education well-being and work well-being. One thing she did mention was fabulous. You'll hear this with her interview, but we talk about, she suggested, why don't we all have well-being days in the workplace or home? And we just choose it to be a day where it's a well-being day. Well, obviously my passion, hence running Who Cares Wins show, doing what I do in my own work world of Another Journey Begins, is that it is all about making Wellbeing Day every day. So that was fantastic to meet her. Also, Eleanor Mills we had talk, and she was she's the editorial director of the Sunday Times. Very humorous, very charismatic speaker, talking about especially wellbeing in the workplace for women and women having children and returning from maternity as well. And another guy who I didn't actually get a chance to get to talk to afterwards and interview, which is a real shame. They had a guy called Pete Moody, who is considered one of the UK's leading voice coaches. So I was listening intently to his speech and jotting down lots of notes about how I could breathe differently when I'm speaking on air and perhaps even speaking on the stage. So some fantastic speakers. Now, one of the other ones I mentioned was Simon Thorpe. And Simon Thorpe had a stand because his company is Expressions Partnership, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them in a moment. And he also had a wonderful little activity going on at his stand at the Wellbeing Symposium. But he has, it's his third attendance at the show, and he was asked to speak on stage, and he was up there talking about happiness. So I'm going to let you just listen to a little interview I took, managed to catch him because he was a very busy man, a very popular man at the event. So I caught up with him afterwards and had a little chat with him about this topic of happiness that he described. And he was giving us lots of stats. I've got something written down here, my little notes, that apparently... The annual salary for us to be happy, it was around circa about 45k. If you earn more, it doesn't really actually make you any more happy. Some of us might be like, well, if I could reach that, I'd be happy. But actually, one of the key stats he put up was 9.9 million workers in the UK are dissatisfied in their jobs, which equated to a third of the working population in the UK. And it's just like, wow, there's so many people out there who are in jobs that either they don't like, or they're just in a job but they don't feel happy, they don't feel they can be happy. And that made me quite sad. But then I looked at how I could be happy in that moment and twist it round. So let's just hear from Simon, and then I want to tell you a little bit more about what he's doing and also about his fabulous workshop that he's got coming up. So let's first of all have our little interview aired for Simon Thorpe from the Expressions Partnership.
So I am still roaming around the Wellbeing Symposium here, and I'm not exhausted because I'm high on the energy of everybody that I'm meeting, and I finally maybe tracked you down, I've hunted you down, Simon.
Thank you.
Simon Thorpe of Expressions Partnership. Now, first of all, Simon, fantastic speak. Thank you very much for
Thank
up there
you.
Talking about happiness, being happy. First of all, though, if you could just let our listeners know, Expressions Partnership, what's your delivery? What are you doing there with organisations?
Yeah, Expressions is our 10th birthday this year. We're 10 years old.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And originally it was set up because I've been on many of these one-hit wonders. You go to a management training day, you go, wow, that was fantastic. The next day you've forgotten half of
yes.
it. Was it worth my time, effort and money? So I started Expressions 10 years ago to try and help people just learn and improve performance. So if I give you our strap line, it is helping individuals, teams and organisations improve performance.
Brilliant.
Through coaching, development and training.
Great. So happiness after my own heart.
Well, there we go. We're on
we
the same
need to
page.
Talk about
we do.
Separate issues. There.
Indeed.
But your talk today, you were focusing on this happiness. Mm. You gave us some lovely stats as well.
Sure.
Remind our listeners, because they won't have been privy to the speeches.
Yeah, sure.
There was a 10% stat about happiness, of credited to 10 and a 40%.
Yeah.
Just let them. They were fascinating.
This is work from a fantastic researcher called Sonia Lybomorsky. Please don't ask to dispel that.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea,
right.
But a fantastic lady. And it's been redone time and time again, and no one can disprove it, so I'm taking it as gospel.
Right.
Allegedly, according to this research, 10% of how happy we are is contributed by our circumstances. So our gender, our age, our colour, our background, our school, adverse things have happened to us. Only 10%. Now, 10% is quite a lot, quite an amount, but only 10%. And so many people say, I would be happier, but this happened to me, or I was bullied at school, or I came from a dodgy background, or lived in a very strange area. Well, okay, that's all right, but only 10%. The 40% is minimum of 40% of how happy we are, comes down to the volitional activity or choices that we make. Now, you and I both were privy to a fantastic life story by Steve Brown.
Who I did talk to, so I listened
to him. Well, he said in the same words, I'm not happy it happened, but I'm happy where I am now because it's all good. I've succeeded far beyond what I thought I could have done by having this, shall we say, adverse situation.
Yes.
A volitional activity. I'm happy. I'm achieving. I'm good. Bad things happen to good people. What are you going to do? Stay down or get back up again? And, you know, forgive me to your listeners, I appreciate that's quite a sweeping statement to make without any more in-depth understanding, but, you know, bad things do happen. It's what you do with that information. It's what you do in the circumstance. And so many people have risen from the depths of adversity and create great things. You know what? It's your choice.
Absolutely. And sometimes I feel there's more of an impetus that's somehow arisen within us, those that have maybe dealt with those illnesses. I know when I approach individuals who've hit that heart attack or the cancer scare, or maybe even been through cancer and come out the other side, but they've hit that wall that says, hey, wake up, and that's fantastic. So yeah, I actually am very passionate about looking at that aspect of, okay, that's what's happened, and very much with my mindfulness hat on, saying, well, what's here now? What's the next thing?
There's a great Buddhist mantra, you may have heard it. It says, when you lose, don't lose the lesson.
Yeah.
It's so important, isn't it? And we mentioned this at our management program, our leadership program, which is not really well-being, but we say, guys, you're going to mess up. That's life.
Yeah.
When you lose, the only thing is don't learn from it.
Yes.
Learn from it. Okay, I messed up. Guess what?
Hey.
I won't do that again, but I'll do this instead. It's great lessons. It really is.
And I know that this is your third year at the symposium.
On the main stage today. I'm very impressed. Promoted. What can I say?
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Excellent.
So you obviously are a big supporter of the Wellbeing Symposium, and it's something that really is dear to your heart. How have you found it this time, this year?
Very interesting. Bigger. You know, so it's a good thing because it's gaining momentum. People are really understanding it. And it's great that more people are talking about different things. I mentioned a controversial point on the stage, and I want to mention this because it's really important. I think we've got to stop calling it things like mental health.
Yes.
We've got to repackage it.
There was a bit of a silence around it.
There was, and then suddenly us all off heads going, actually that's not a bad idea.
Yes.
But people will still think of it as a stigma. You've heard that today a few times. Well-being is a massive subject. Mental health is a massive subject.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear about what we're trying to do here. If someone just, I'll tell you a very quick story actually, a colleague of mine here today, she had a rough day at work, and her son, who was 9 at the time, said, Mummy, you look very sad, are you depressed? And this lady said, I'm mildly perturbed about my day, but I'm not depressed, darling, but thank you for asking and caring. Because these words are now on children's minds.
Yes.
And you start talking about mental health, and they're probably growing up thinking, am I mental? Do I need some help?
Yeah.
It's all fascinating stuff. It's all very, very important. And
you had on that chart the whole tipping point that we need to maybe just changing the label
change the perception.
Create this energy and this more enthusiasm behind it as well.
And it's okay.
And it's not fluffy.
It's not fluffy. Oh, my gosh. You have to get something different. A, it's not soft.
No.
And B, it's not fluffy.
No, definitely.
It's essential life skills. Once you get someone's thought process correct, someone's view of life correct, someone's confidence boosted, someone's resilience in check, they can do almost anything. But actually, let's not train them on sales skills or customer care skills. If they haven't got the confidence, go and talk to somebody.
No.
You're not going to win. You're wasting time, effort, money. Get the right things in place first.
Fantastic. We need to get you in on the show to talk more
to come and do
about
that.
Your fantastic
it
work.
Would be great to
thank you for joining. Just a brief moment of your time with
more
me.
Than welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there you have it.
I need to say no more. I think we're going to get Simon down here on the studio guest in conversation with him, because there's just so much great stuff he does, and there's so much more that I wanted to actually you, the listener, to hear of what he had to say. So it's fantastic stuff. And if you're listening, Simon, yes, please do get in touch, because it was fantastic to interview, have a brief moment of your time there at the show, but it would be great to actually have real more in-depth conversations with you. I do love that quote. He mentioned it, and it's something that's on one of my vision boards at home. It's the work I did with Lynn Franks a few years ago, and the Seed Manifesto incorporates this saying of, you know, when you lose, don't ever lose the lesson, you know, and never let go of the bigger vision. Which, when you talk about vision boards, and I get people to talk about a vision board and put something together that can then be their overall goal of where they're heading, but a bigger picture rather than one specific area and aim. It incorporates their whole life, you know, it's pictures, it's phrases, it's words. And on my vision board, I have that, you know, never let go of that bigger vision. You know, where am I actually ultimately wanting to be? What do I want my life in the future, whether that be tomorrow or next week, to overall encompass? And to maybe what parts, you know, will be in it. One of the things I work with when I'm working with individuals is I look at a time circle. So it's sort of a play with the wheel of life and time management and a time matrix. And I play with them, and we look at, okay, a snapshot in time of your life now, and what's in it. So you're looking at your categories. So it's family, it's domestic chores, it's work, it's travel, it's commuting, it's holidays, it's fun time, it's social, it's community, it's spiritual. So there's all these different categories. And then I get them and challenge them to actually try and divide this circle, which is effectively like a pie. And you have to divide the categories into this pie to make up one whole pie, which is your life. And you're then looking at how you divide those categories into what size slices are they? So your travel, your commuting and your work slice might be bigger than your community or your family or your home slice. The domestic chores might be larger slice than the partner time or the loved one's time. And then I get them to actually consider in the future, whatever that timescale may be, you know, what is it that you really want it to look like? If you're not happy with something at the moment, what is it that, you know, if you could have this wonderful magic wand, ding, and there it is, life is now as you want it, as you wish it. And that's not talking about, you know, winning the lottery. It's actually true reality of, I could make this happen if I wanted. And that comes back to the note that Simon then mentioned, this whole element of, you know, what actually makes us happy or what contributes to our happiness. 40% is down to our choices that we make. So with the circle, I get them to then, it may be the same categories. They may put more in, or they may put less in, or they may have different ones. And they chop and jam them out, but then they make another circle. But it's the circle with the slices perhaps slightly reduced, slightly increased. I remember one client I had many, many years ago, a gentleman client who sat there and was working through it and had this sort of huge revelation. And so I went over and is everything okay? And he said, yes, I've just realised I have a wife. I don't see her. Don't spend time with her. So things need to change. And that was great to hear. And then it was about, well, how will he do that? And what steps is he going to actually incorporate to make it happen? Because it's all in good having the, I'm going to do that. But if it's just like a New Year's resolution, then it's not necessarily going to say maybe something that you will see through to the bitter end. We want something that's going to actually excite you to, yeah, I want to start that. I'm going to continue. If people try and put blockages in my way, I'm going to, you know, smash through them, because I am determined. I want this for a reason. There's that, you know, ultimate motivation inside. Now, coming back to Simon, I wanted to just highlight, there's two things that he also, at the Wellbeing Symposium, he also had at his stand a little activity that you could engage with. And it was just little sticky notes, and you had to write down on there an answer to a question. And the question was, the secret to happiness, or what makes you happy? If you want to let me know on Twitter, if there's anything else that maybe I'm not going to mention them all, but Simon very kindly sent through the summary of people who had contributed throughout the day, throughout the event, and had actually posted things. So here's just a few of them. He sent me it through. Thank you very, very much, Simon. Secrets to Happiness from the Wellbeing Symposium 2014. One of them is here, taking positive lessons from every experience. Watching Strictly Come Dancing. I'm on that one. And no, that wasn't mine, listener. Being proactive, positive,
and engaged. Ensure a good work-life balance. We've got a sense of belonging. Weekly date night. I like that. Newspaper, coffee, quiet place. Oh, newspaper, coffee, quiet place. Okay, I'm with you. Meditating every day, 15 minutes every morning. Football, laughter, dancing, friends, family, music, love, my pets. Staying active, think positively, live each day, look forward. Try to live in the moment whenever possible. No, that's not my listener, but yeah, I need to find that person. Being comfortable and accepting who you are right now. Food, family, being proud of what you do, remembering your strengths, facing every day with a smile. Sometimes I make myself laugh. My grandchildren, my grandson, just having fun, career satisfaction. Dancing to Pharrell Williams, I'm presuming that's the happy song. Healthy interpersonal relationships, dogs, horses, husbands behaving. Does that mean dogs and husbands behaving? Or, yes, okay. living every day to the max, taking time to stop and gaze at the sky. Wow. Making time for myself, reading a book, cooking a meal. Just that moment that is mine. And there's a few more here. There's just oodles, and I'm running out of time to get everything squeezed in. But what makes you happy? Maybe that sparked a thought. And I really would be intrigued if you want to post it on Facebook or tweet me at CaresWins, whether it's today or over the series of weeks, just to let me know. And if you want me to share them on our radio show, then I'd love to. It just, you know, what makes you happy? Mine, by the way, listener, was being here in the moment as it is. There you go, see? No more words. Now, the other thing I wanted to shout out about is that if you are buying into a lot of this stuff that we talk about on Who Cares Wins, but obviously Simon's passion for life Simon's alluded to there in his little interview with us, he does actually do, there's lots of programs he does, and if you want to go and have a look on the website, obviously expressionspartnership.com is their website. But they are doing the Wellbeing at Work Masterclass, which is a one-day interactive program with free phone coaching, yes, F-R-E-E, free phone coaching, and a practical toolkit for immediate implementation. The day will cover solutions including stress and coping strategies, resilience to bounce forwards, developing self-confidence, fear, overcoming anxiety, working through low mood, identifying motivation, 5 ways to well-being at work, the mind game, I think that says. My eyes are going now. Should have bought my glasses. Jan would tell me off. Minimising costs of poor well-being, dealing with mood hoovers, and accepting change. And all of that is covered on this wonderful workshop masterclass on the 3rd of December. So I know it's only that's next week, isn't it? So I wanted to let you know, if you want to book, probably the best thing to do is go through to expressionspartnership.com. And you'll find on there the Wellbeing at Work Masterclass, and you can then complete the form from the website or even just email Simon or on the Twitter. Simon is on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is @expressions2003. That's 2003. And let him know that you've heard on Who Cares Wins talking about this and hearing the interview. And if you quote Who Cares Wins, he will give you a little discount. So even more reason to go. So that's Wednesday the 3rd of December. It is in Box Hill in Surrey, so you might need to think about travel arrangements. Or if you know somebody else that you can go with, maybe you can share the cost of travel. But as I say, it's a whole day event. Normally the cost would be £149 per delegate. That was an early bird price, but that will be the discount for you. I'm not going to quote exactly how much you'll charge, but he did say he would give you the discount if you quote Who Cares Wins radio show. So enjoy that. If you go, let us know how you get on. So happiness, there's lots of things around about happiness. In fact, something else that came up in my timeline, if some people know about the Buddhist monk, Matthieu Ricard. I'm trying to do a French accent there. Very poor. Do apologize. Meditation completely changes your brain and therefore changes what you are. So 66-year-old. He's had lots of brain scans that reveal that he has the largest capacity for happiness ever recorded. So they're analysing his brain and the hemispheres and the areas of activity in his brain. So I will post that on our Facebook page for you to have a little read if you're interested. I will also post Simon's masterclass details and contact information on our Facebook page as well after the show. So if you want to contact him and you can't remember it, then you can just go to our Facebook page, scroll down the timeline and you'll find it. Now, one of the other interviews that I also have, because also they've got a workshop coming up. You may remember she was on our show a little while ago, Liz Armand, who we, funnily enough, met at last year's Wellbeing Symposium. We caught up with Liz, and Jan had a little chat with her, because Liz has changed angle slightly from when she was last on the show, but she also has a couple of workshops that she's running on the 2nd of December. So we thought it was great if we could get those out today and tell you about them in enough notice. If you're wanting to book up, then it's not going to be too much of a lastminute.com. So here's what Liz had to say.
Well, I've just bumped into Liz Armand. Hello, Liz.
Hello there, John.
So it's been a while since we saw you. You came onto the radio show earlier in the year, and you were doing one thing, and I hear you've changed hats.
I have.
A slightly different direction now.
I have, yes. I'm now the healer's healer.
The healer's healer.
Healer's healer.
What does that mean?
So healer's healer means that I'm actually working with health professionals or holistic practitioners,
right,
including coaches, to help them stay well in business.
Ah,
so it's allowing them to be, to often healers of whatever type are actually so busy helping everybody else that they're not helping themselves.
Now, that's actually been a theme of this morning's speakers.
Okay.
A couple of them have touched on that,
okay,
the importance of taking care of oneself before trying to do everything
else. I'm actually making sure that those individuals are looking after themselves and helping themselves, and I'm running many mindset workshops to help practitioners see how to build their businesses more from an abundant mindset rather than scarcity mindset, because often there can be many worries when you set up a business.
Absolutely.
Which also means that actually they can't get so many clients in because they're so worried about what they're doing. They can't afford to buy business cards or whatever it is. They need to see money as a different thing. So I'm showing them how to change that by running free money mindset workshops. But we donate to charity as part of them. It's the one on the 2nd of December, as well as the two actually. One is at 2 o'clock on the 2nd, and one is at 6:30. And we're raising money for the homeless.
Right.
I'm going to be feeding the homeless on Christmas Day.
Okay.
There's 120 people going to come together in homeless people and those who are alone in Rochester.
Right.
And we're going to raise some money for
excellent thing
homes
to do.
Yeah.
Now your free money workshops.
Yep.
Where are they going to be?
Sutton Balance in Maidstone.
In Maidstone.
So Wendy's,
okay,
Tea Room.
Right.
And
do people need to book?
They will need to book. They just need to get in touch with me.
Right.
If they go onto my website, www.insightfulminds.co.uk.
Okay.
It's under free money mindset workshops.
Right.
So they can go on there, or they can contact me on my telephone number.
And we'll obviously make sure we shout about that.
Absolutely,
on Facebook,
brilliant.
And
yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I've got quite a few people booked already.
Right.
And not deliberately, but got quite a few healthcare professionals on there. So I feel like clearly people are finding out. Yeah, people are finding out about it. It's available for anybody. If there's somebody in debt, I've had people who are on verge of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't. Although I'm the healer's healer, it's anybody's welcome.
Anybody, yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, good luck with your new ventures. Lovely to see you again.
The lovely Liz Armand. It's such a shame. I was gutted. I kept seeing her flying by our stand and unfortunately didn't get a chance to sit down and have a proper chat with her. So hopefully we can get back on the show and I can quiz her intently on what she's doing. And maybe healer's healer. Maybe, yes, she can look at if anything that I need healing. Just to let you know that little interview earlier with Simon Thorpe from Expressions Partnership and also me then highlighting all the good stuff that he did at the Wellbeing Symposium. He has confirmed via Twitter that yes, they will, if you mention Who Cares Wins Radio Show, so you have to remember, mention us, then he will give you a discount to that Wellbeing Masterclass. So I am already booked out, otherwise I would definitely be there at the front seat. And Simon, I still have my balloon and it's still inflated and it's huge, my little smiley face. So let me move on before we start to disappear off air. I've only got a few minutes left. I want to play a piece of music as well that just links really to sort of the whole essence of Wellbeing Symposium, the individual speakers, my passion, the individual speakers that we heard of, the individual people that I met afterwards that came in the public sort of domain, the free entry, if you like, in the afternoon. We've got some interviews from those people we met as well. And also some people were doing some workshops. And so they were actually doing some what we call little masterclasses and little workshops as well that were going on in the afternoon. So some great stuff. It was such a buzz and such a busy but yet really informative and fun day. And this key thing about well-being. One quote actually Simon put up, which I'm going to share with you. He put up a quote from Stephen Fry, and you may be familiar with this, that if ignorance is bliss, why aren't there more happier people in the world? It did make me smile. And so I'd like to play this song and then very quickly come back with a few events, which I'll also post on our Facebook page. So the best things in life, such as smiling and laughing, are free. Well, there we are. The best things in life are free. And you know what I'm about with frees, and that's F-R-E-E, is that, yes, Who Cares Wins Radio with me, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, is coming to a close. But think about those things that you can give away for free, which would maybe make someone's day just slightly turn. And that could be the smile. It could be the hug. Remember a couple of weeks ago we did the benefit of hugs, or hugs, depending on where you live in the country. So that is about it for me. I'm going to have to disappear. Have a fantastic week. And I'm going to play us out with Be Who You Were Born to Be by Bliss. Enjoy.
So there we have it. You've been listening to a revised repeat of Angela hosting some of our interviews from Wellbeing Symposium 2014. And just to remind you, we'll be back live in the studio next week, Monday the 2nd of November, with our preview show from this year's Wellbeing Symposium.
The symposium is going to take place on Wednesday, the 11th of November, so that's Remembrance Wednesday. And we'll have all the news on how you can get tickets, what you can expect when you get there, and who will be speaking. Join us next Monday, 12 noon. Have a good week, and playing us out, as promised, is Bliss.
No more time to waste, no more excuses. Gotta reach out of your arms and embrace the sun. No more time for self-pitying abuses. Gotta stand up and shout and say, I am the one. 'Cause there's been too much crying and talk of being free. Gotta jump off that cliff and be who you were born to be.
Who cares what you lose? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who cares wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
On the bright side of the world.
Sometimes I don't.